Okay, good evening. It's 7:12 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI LSB Treasurer, and I chair this meeting. And the first thing we are going to do is establish officially the quorum. And we will do that right now. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Present.
Jim Dingman.
Here.
Bruce Grief. Don Hoffman.
Present.
Noel Jameson.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mario Mastrandrea. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Carolyn McIntyre, Daryl McPherson,
present,
Ali Murphy, Bertold Reimers, Doreen Roberts, James Sagerton, Jeffrey Stern,
here,
Neil Voss, Michael D.D. White,
here.
M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay, that's 10. That is a quorum. And so the meeting now begins. And the first thing we have to do is I make a motion to adopt the agenda. And I will now read the draft agenda. Okay, I move we adopt the following agenda. 1, call to order 7 p.m. 2, approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3, identify timekeeper 2 minutes. 4, excused absences 5 minutes. 5, motion to hold an election for committee secretary at next meeting 5 minutes. 6, minutes approval 10 minutes. 7, treasurer's report 15 minutes. 8, general manager's report on WBAI's finances 30 minutes. 9, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 10, new business. 11, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, that's the motion on the floor. Is there any debate or questions or anything about the agenda?
Yeah, this is Jim.
Jim Damon, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to put in a 3-minute director comment in there. Just 3 minutes.
Okay, so you want to add where you want to put that?
I don't know, wherever the hell you want to. Just 3 minutes. I want to just give some comments about what I see happening at the national level so people can see how that relates to the financial shit.
You want to make that after minutes approval?
Yeah, sure. Just
okay,
quick.
So let me add after minutes approval. Okay, so the amendment is to add after minutes approval, which I need to spell better, minutes approval, director comment, 3 minutes. Okay, is there any debate on this particular amendment?
Sure, this is James.
James Sagerton, go ahead.
Yes, letting you know that I'm here and I'm going to listen to the debate for a while so I don't have to ask you to read what we're voting on.
Oh, we're voting on the agenda and we're voting on Jim Dingman has just made an amendment to add after minutes approval, director comment, 3 minutes. Have anything to any questions, any debate on this amendment?
This is Ali. I just wanted to make sure that you do mark me present.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Ali Murphy is here. Okay,
thank
I got
you.
Somebody. Let me check here. Is Bruce Grief here? Is Mario Mastrandrea here? Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Bertold Reimer is here. Is Serene Roberts here? Is Neil Voss here? Okay. So, all right. So we have this amendment to add after minutes approval director's comment for 3 minutes. Any debate on this? Hearing none. Is there any objection to passing that amendment? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. And let me put it into what I'm carrying here as an agenda. That'll be after that. Okay. All right. Okay, so we have that agenda item in there. So we're still discussing the agenda. Is there any other debate or questions or anything about the agenda? Hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting the amenda as to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing none, it's passed. Okay. Oh, what was that? Hold on. There. Okay, the next thing we have here is identify timekeeper. Who would like to be the timekeeper?
We'll do that, Paul.
Okay. Okay. Jeffrey Stern volunteers to be timekeeper. Any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is the timekeeper. Thank you, Jeffrey. Okay. Next is excused absences. And okay, now we're on excused absences, and let me look again. I've been looking here for anything, and I do not see anyone requesting an excused absence, in which case we will just move on to the next agenda item, that is a motion to hold an election for the committee secretary at the next meeting. And all right,
who is
we have
making
to do
this
every
motion?
Year. Say again.
Who is making this motion?
I am, R. Paul.
Okay.
I move to hold an election for committee secretary at the next meeting. Okay, I'll repeat that since I was typing closely there. So the motion is to hold an election for the committee secretary at the next meeting. And is there any debate or anything on that? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing this motion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. And the next thing is minutes approval. So, Madam Secretary, I think you have some minutes for us, right?
Yes, I did minutes for the September 28th meeting and sent those on November 27th. And I did amended minutes for the October 19th meeting and sent those. I forget exactly when, but I could tell you.
Okay. You want to make a motion to pass one or both of those right now?
I'd like to pass both of them.
Okay.
If that's okay. I'm sorry I was not at the November... I wasn't really at the November 30th meeting, even though I came in at the last 5 minutes.
It's well, you came in late, but you were there.
All right.
Okay.
So, but I did not take notes, and I don't... Was that meeting streamed or recorded in some way that I could go back and take notes? I'd be willing to do that, but...
I think it was.
How do I access the streaming for that meeting?
Well, it's no longer streaming. It's go up to kpftx.org, go to that particular meeting on November 30th, and there should be a file there. If there's not, we'll contact someone and make sure it gets posted.
All right. Well, I will go back and do minutes for that meeting, but I haven't done that yet. I will.
Okay.
Anyway, I sent the amended minutes for October 19th on December 30th. Yes, on December 30th. So both of those meetings have been sent.
Okay, so you want to make a motion to approve
I think a good amount of time. So I want approval for those two meetings.
Of the November 19th and what other one?
9/28/22 and 10/19/22.
Okay.
And I will make sure all meetings are posted at KPFTX. All meeting minutes that have been approved.
Okay. All right, so the motion is to approve the minutes of the September 28th and October 19th, 2022, local finance committee.
So move.
Meetings. Okay, is there any debate on this motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to approving those minutes? Hearing none, they are approved.
I need to abstain. I haven't read them. Thanks.
Hey, Mario's here.
Oh, okay. A couple of people are showing up. So let's see. Mario is here. Was that Serene Roberts just now?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Is Bruce Grief here? Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Is Bertold Reimers here? Is Neil Voss here? Bertold's here. Okay. Neil Voss, are you here? Okay. All right. Moving on with things. The next item on the agenda is director's comment. Jim Dingman. Go ahead, Jim. You got 3 minutes.
All right. 3 points. First of all, we're going to be facing in the next 6 to 7 months a serious move to swap and sell a signal within Pacifica. Most likely, it will either be KPFK or New York. In the case of KPFK, the amount of money that they would get from that would be 15 to 23 million bucks. In the case of New York, they'd get at least $25 million, and, of course, the other option is to sell. So people have to be aware of that. That is going to be a big battle royale in the next 6 to 7 months. Unless there's some magical appearance of several million dollars, $20 million, $30 million, which, frankly, some of us think is needed to renovate the whole foundation, and obviously the need for it is essential. As I've said before, I'm opposed to a swap and sell option. Secondly, there are misconceptions that have been posted about the underwriting motion. The underwriting motion was not a motion to bring in commercials, and I say that in quotes. It was an underwriting motion to bring in support to the stations, and in New York in particular, from all sorts of outside bodies that are aligned with a whole bunch of strictures that would prevent money from being taken from. For example, one person wanted us to take money from Trader Joe's. We know that they are extensively involved in union busting. So there's all these debates were handled in open session. So that's a misconception that someone has argued about that they were handled in executive session. They were not. They were debated at least 5 to 6 times in open session, both in the Strategic Planning Committee and the board itself. So that has to be sort of dismissed as a bunch of BS. Thirdly, the CPB issue has also been openly discussed for several years now. There's no ambiguity about the complexities of applying for the CPB. And there is going to be a major effort, whether we reject it or not, to apply for the CPB in the next oncoming year. But all the other problems that exist with the CPB, in other words, the Nielsen ratings locally and other issues, none of that was ever hidden from anybody. So anybody asserting that is also erroneous because, frankly, all they needed to do was to read the CPB requirements to understand the complexity of applying for it. But those issues will be dealt with and addressed in the next couple of months. That's all I wanted to say. Maybe Jim wanted to add something in there. Sagerton, you want to throw something in
James
there?
James Sagerton, are you there? Do you want to say something? I think Jim isn't there.
Okay. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
And time is up. Okay. The next item is the treasurer's report. And I give that. And go with it. Let's see. Here it is. Okay. The local station board met on December 14th, but did not get to the treasurer's report again. Oh, well, that keeps happening. A lot of things are happening in Pacifica. Quite a few bills are still not being paid, and some companies that are owed money could start denying Pacifica service on the grounds of non-payment. One example is Allegiance, which is the service that uses software of the same name and service also to track donations. So that's how we find out, you know, who's giving us money and stuff like that. You can do campaigns off that and try to get more money. Allegiance had us on their, quote, do not serve list, unquote. Without Allegiance servicing the stations and other parts of Pacifica, it would have been hard, very hard, to keep track of donations or even of collecting donations because that's what we use to do it. If you're using a particular software and service to handle that and you don't pay them and they say, we're pulling the plug on you, you're not collecting donations, and that would be a big, bad thing. This is, by the way, for all of Pacifica. And Pacifica has owed Allegiance money for a month. The executive director spoke with the CEO of Allegiance. Hold on a second. Pardon me, I'm choking over here. Oh. Anyway, the executive director of Pacifica spoke with the CEO of Allegiance, and she has been negotiating payment plans with them. As a result, Allegiance did not shut down the donate button, which would be a disaster, and left other features of the software operative. The executive director said that the people at Allegiance were sympathetic to our problems, but she's still very concerned about the unpaid bills that we owe them. Making payroll on time continues to be a constant problem in Pacifica. The executive director has said for months that making payroll for all of the stations has been a nail-biter almost every time. The NFC was told that WBAI had overcome a shortfall just in the nick of time for the November 30th payroll, and everybody got paid. A company handles – one company called Paylocity handles the payroll for all of Pacifica. And the way it works is if one station can't make payroll, then nobody in Pacifica gets paid. That's just the way it's set up. The executive director said that Pacifica would make its December payroll, December 15th payroll on time, and it looks like probably the December 30th payroll. And basically an issue with all of this is that most Pacifica stations are not doing well. And so if WBAI or any other station cannot make payroll, there's not a lot of options left to help us out. And again, WBAI was pretty close to it for November 30th, but we made it. If any station doesn't make their payroll, nobody makes payroll, and there are all sorts of consequences from that. There was an interest payment due on the FJC loan on December 31st. The latest word that I got was that Pacifica wouldn't have the full amount available to make that payment on time. The executive director told the NFC in public session that Pacifica's general counsel was talking with the people at FJC about various options if we couldn't come up with the money on time. Pacifica hasn't missed an interest payment yet, but this is another situation where the path to making the payment is not clear. Sort of like what's happening with payroll. It's a nail biter. The executive director has reported that the big problem with getting access to the Great Plains database has been fixed. Great Plains is the accounting software that Pacifica uses. And there was a big problem of nobody could access parts of it, but that has been fixed. And so this should allow financial reports to be done. And the National Educational Telecommunications Association, called NETA, helped a lot with this, even though Pacifica still owes them money. We didn't pay them when they left. We still owe them a pile of money, but they helped us anyway. At the December 13th National Finance Committee meeting, the issue of maybe zeroing out all central services fees that are owed was raised, and it turned out to be a contentious topic. There are those in Pacifica who are opposed to such a move. Removing the backlog of unpaid central services fees could remove some areas of contention within Pacifica, but it would not help WBAI and other stations that struggle to pay central services fees to actually pay their future central services fees. There is the need to fund the National Office and the Pacifica Radio Archives, which rely on central services payments to survive. Some people are looking for ways other than central services fees to fund those parts of Pacifica, but I haven't heard any off-air fundraising proposals that seem adequate. Central services fees will continue to be a big issue in Pacifica in the near future. The NFC was to have taken up WBAI's draft FY23 budget proposal at the December 20th meeting, but we were informed that the WBAI general manager had COVID-19 and couldn't attend, so that was put off. Pacifica's finances have been dire for years. We all know this. And they still are in bad shape, maybe getting worse. But people are starting to take actions to avoid a total collapse of the foundation. And in a written treasurer's report that was posted on December 14th, I went on about Pacifica's illiquid state and how things are finally being dealt with in a way that may allow Pacifica to survive. I've sent a copy of that report to the local finance committee mailing list, and I recommend reading that part of the report because it will help to understand the actual situation and help to make sense of what may come. And the next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, January 10th, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be held by teleconference. And that's the report. And before we go into questions or anything, I need to make the announcement here that we always need to make. 1 second. Let me write that down. Okay. Where is it? Okay, while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The Pacifica National Board has passed a motion that says, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board, unquote. So at this time, is there anybody from the anybody from the WBAI local area who wants to announce that they are here so that they can become a member of the committee? You have to attend three of these meetings in a row to become a member. Is there anybody here who wants to announce that they are here in order to do this?
I'd like to, yes.
Okay, hearing none. Who's this? Okay, somebody said yes. You got to give me a name. And I don't hear you. Okay. Maybe you're on mute. Before we go on for questions for the treasurer, is Bruce Grief here? Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Is Neil Voss here? Okay, there's that. Are there any questions for the treasurer's report?
Mario on the stack.
Anyone else?
James.
James Sagerton. Anyone else?
Bertold.
Bertold. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with that short stack. Mario, go ahead.
Paul. The whole network is about what, $9 million in debt.
In debt? No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's less than that.
Illiquid.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's significantly less than $9 million. I mean, you count the big thing is the FJC loan, which is $2.1 million.
Right.
And then we've got others. So we're not at $9 million.
All right. Well, the talk of which is it? I just want a clarity. So there's talk about selling the property in California and then pay these bills back and kind of help reset things, or now signal swap a station and then do the same thing and maybe not sell the property. Is that sort of the scenario?
There are a lot of different people talking about a lot of different things in Pacifica. So you just heard the director's report, and, who knows? There are different people with different ideas, and no concrete motion to swap a signal or sell a signal has come down from the PNB yet, as far as I know.
And then there's talk about some sort of getting money from using the commercial license or something like this, or
I don't know what that is.
Underwriting. I get that would kind of turn the whole network into like PB Channel 13, which is very detached, and that wouldn't be good. But if the ship is going to sink or get in serious trouble, you got to do something. Nobody's doing a mass enrollment of memberships here. So I guess people think that's too much work and too little, or too much work too late, I guess. But there's a lot of people who don't want to do the work required. So that's been going on for a long time. One last point. I mean, when you do a signal swap, there's going to be some consideration of what you did to the real estate. But then again, real estate is real estate. So it, I don't know about so quote unquote the real estate of the airwaves and a little bit about commercial real estate, but I heard before that one station can get, if you signal swap, you can get 25 mil for New York. But I don't know if there's a consideration whoever's going to swap with you turns around and says, well, what'd you do to the real estate? There's nobody listening. It's not worth 25 mil. But again, the goal is to get money to reset WBAI. At this point, one last comment. If no one's listening to 99.5, when you say no one, there's nothing that of any substance that makes it solvent. And nobody's doing the work to create that using the real estate, right? So does it matter whether you're on 99.5 or 93.1? You still got to go do the work when you get to 93.1. Yeah. To let people know that you're, you know, what are you doing and who are you? So this is a moot point that if we move, nothing, it has nothing to do with the middle of the dial. None of this. There's no documentation about this anymore. Maybe in the past. You still have to go do the work to market yourself and work as a radio station, no matter where you are. So if you can get 25 million, great. Reset the whole thing. I don't think you're going to get 25 million because people are going to say, look what you did to this, you know, to this spot on the dial. Nothing. But
all right. Thank you, Mario.
All right.
Time has been called. Time has been called. Does anybody, we have some more. We have two more people on the stack. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend the time for this item?
I make a motion,
to extend to 10 minutes.
Okay. Too many people jumping in. Who wants to make a motion?
I make a motion to extend this for 10 minutes.
Your name?
Okay. Jim Dingman, I hear.
Whose name was that?
Hold on a second. Jim Dingman moves to extend the time for this item by how long?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, Jim Dingman has moved to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any, this is undebatable, of course, is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 10 minutes? Hearing none. The time for this item is extended by 10 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 7:44. And Serene Roberts, you have. Do you want to be on a stack or something else?
What? Yes, stack.
You want to be on a stack. Okay, let me put you on the stack.
Bruce for the stack.
Yeah, Jim to the stack. Jim
is that
Dingman
Bruce Grief?
Yeah.
And Jim Dingman to the stack.
Hold on a second while I add you in as being here. Bruce Grief is here. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually, that's all I wanted to say that I came in late.
All right, hold on. We got a stack. All right, the stack as we have it now is James Sagerton, Bertold Reimer, Serene Roberts, Bruce Grief. We'll go with that crowd. And let's go next with James Sagerton.
I believe
Sagerton.
Jim Dingman also was stacked.
Dingman, did you? Oh,
yes, I did.
I remember.
I did.
All right, then you'll be in there too. All right. I have James Sagerton, Bertold Reimers, Serene Roberts, Bruce Grief, Jim Dingman. James Sagerton, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Paul. I want to suggest to Mario and to others, if you can, listen to the national meetings when you can, and then you'll be relying a lot less on I heard this and I heard that. You know, they don't always talk about these things in the open sessions. If you're talking about real estate or signal swapping, that's done in closed session because those are contractual deals that you're going to be working on. And, you know, you don't always want that stuff in the public because it might affect you getting the best deal. But in general, if you follow the national meetings, it'll help. I also understand that these meetings are so people on the local level can have national matters explained to them, and Arpol does a good job of that with his treasurer's reports. And so I would suggest, as he always does, read the treasurer's reports. He packs a lot into them. And the reason I requested originally was a process matter, not a process matter, actually a procedural matter. We read every time at the beginning of the meeting that little bit about the only way to become a member is to sign the sign-in sheet. And, you know, now it's for a while now we've been doing this electronically. Arpol, do we need to adjust that or address that at the LSB, or are you happy with the way it is?
You mean with how we do it, how people have to identify themselves and stuff?
Yeah, you know, since we've been meeting electronically for so long and we don't have a sign-in sheet anymore, I think you've got a good workaround. I'm just wondering if you want to clean it up or change it at all.
Well, the thing is, the official stuff from the LSB is what I read in the front of it, and then the part about it electronic, the LSB allowed that too. So I think putting it all in there is just covers everything. Now, I suppose we could think about a different wording at some point, but right now this makes it so that we avoid people yelling at the LSB meetings that we're not doing it right or something. So for now, I say leave it as it is. I can read it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, are you done?
Yep.
Okay, next is Bertolt Reimers.
Yes. So, you know, with all these signal swapping and selling and all of these things, my questions are these. One, are we really comfortable with the ability of everybody involved to really manage millions of dollars properly? Two, I really do not care about abilities of people. I really care about structure and system. Do we have written, very strictly written plan of action to be followed by everyone, including the ED and PNB. And third, if we don't have those, when are we going to do them? Was it because to me it's the same thing as the CPD filing. We talked about it. I was very frustrated that Pacifica National did not file for CPD funding. We knew we weren't going to get it, but now we still have no real idea what are deficiencies. Knowing what are deficiencies, talking about them, and having actually them checked by CPD so that we can know what to work on are two different things. So basically, these are my questions, and somewhat finger pointing and worries. So can those be addressed by you all, Paul, I don't know, the ED or whomever is, is a plan of action?
So you're asking me this. Well.
Actually, everybody, you and everybody on the PNB, not only
on
those
the
people
PNB.
Let
me answer your question then, if you've asked them to me. Are we comfortable with the ability of everybody to manage millions of dollars properly? Who knows? We don't know this quite yet because some people have done it and some people have screwed up money a whole lot in Pacifica. Two, plan of action. Well, that's some of what I think the PNB is working on. Again, I'm not on the PNB, so I don't have much to do with that or anything to do with that. And you're frustrated with the CPB funding not being done. And, yeah, we probably should apply this year. We've been told that we're going to do it this year. I will note the CPB would have a number of things to fault us on, besides the fact that, whether or not at least one station has enough people working on it to qualify as a question. Another is, do all five stations have enough listenership to qualify? That's questionable. And also, the thing people largely don't pay a lot of attention to is, do the stations all – does everybody comply with the CPB and FCC open meeting rules? I think that right there you could have a stumbling block. But, yeah, let's apply for it. I wanted us to apply for it last year and the year before. So let's do that. I think I've answered your question, right? Okay.
More or less. I just have a point of personal privilege. When I said did we trust those people to handle that kind of money, I didn't mean in a sense of stealing. I meant in the sense of ability to properly manage the money. That's what I meant.
Okay. The next person is Serene Roberts.
At a meeting of the NSC, either in December or November, there were two motions about the proposed use of the monies if the KPFK building were to be sold. And I don't see any minutes for the NSC on kpftx.org. I'm wondering if the motion, which I think was brought by Grace, and then a second motion or maybe a substitute or something, I don't know, brought by someone from KPFA, wondering if those can be sent to this committee.
Okay. The NFC voted to meet weekly until the end of the year. So from, I think it was like about October maybe, through December, we met every week. And most of the time, we had two meetings per week. So I'm still catching up on those. The motion from Grace Aaron regarding possibly what to do, to have a business plan for the KPFK, what money comes out of the KPFK building sale, that has been postponed again. It has not been passed by the NFC. So that's what's happening there. As for putting out her motion, I wonder if I am planning to get the get all those minutes done sort of soon, not immediately. So those will show up there. So that'll be there. But maybe she's posted it somewhere else herself.
Well, it's both Grace's motion and the motion, the substitute motion from KPFA. They were discussed publicly, so regardless of the disposition or whenever a new NFC might get back to it, isn't really the issue. The issue is, can those motions be distributed to this committee?
Okay, I'll look them up and see if they're ready to throw in here right away. I can do it. I just will take a look at it, okay? All right. And
thanks.
The next person is Bruce Grief. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Originally, I just requested the stack to let you know but said what he said. I have to agree with him 150%. The other thing, I think as a test, a number of people have said, yeah, fine, okay, you sell the KPFK building and you get a bunch of cash. But what's the other side of the ledger in terms of how much is it going to cost you to rent a space? How much is it going to cost you to move? How much is it going to cost you, blah, blah, blah? And I haven't seen or heard any progress on any sort of plan that includes both sides. The income and the expenses. So, and that's it. I'm done.
Yeah, that's part of what that motion wants to have addressed is a business plan for what to do with the dough that comes out of the KPFK building sale. So, the answer is nobody has that quite yet, as far as I know. Okay, next is Jim Ding.
What to do with the proceeds of the sale is real. Is, you know, if that's an easy question, you get $5 million
or whatever. The problem is nobody seems to be thinking about, all right, fine, how much is going to cost you? How much is a year's worth of rent and the moving expense? You're not moving a house. You're moving a studio. You're going to have to rewire, move a lot of expensive equipment, move the archives. Nobody seems to be talking about that. That's it. I'm done.
Actually, it has been talked about. Part of the idea is to try to make it a condition of the sale that KPFK, the proposal, this is not concrete, this is a proposal of a motion that has not been passed at this time. The proposal is to have written into the contract 1 or 2 years for KPFK to be there so that they can find another place and move in an orderly manner as opposed to a disorderly manner. Okay? All right. Jim Dingman's next.
All right. The building in Los Angeles was valued at $4.65 million in 2016. I think it's the public record that the amount that it's been valued at recently is anywhere from 4.8 to 5.3 million, let's say in that range. And the problem, of course, is to be forced into the situation to actually have to sell a tangible asset like a building. And that is the dilemma, because you still have the basic problem of the three stations, New York, Houston, and Los Angeles, only being able to get 0.1% of their market share. Could somebody please mute? Thank you.
Somebody is making some noise. Would you please mute if you're not talking right now?
And the problem, of course, is the 0.8% that PFW has, which is a great example, and the 0.3 to 0.4% that KPFA has, which also, by the way, someone brought to my attention that they also lost money. Could somebody please shut – who the fuck is making that noise?
All right. Somebody's got a whole lot of noise going on here, and please don't do that. Okay, right. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's also time.
Oh, someone's doing that. Okay, fine. All right. Anyway, I'll try to go through this. Now, the CPB issue is, you know, who the fuck is doing that? I mean, really, this is like this.
Called time.
All right. One, time is being called. But two, there are people. If you're doing something, I don't know what that is. Somebody's coughing. Somebody's outside or a car running. Please mute yourself. It's what is it? Mute is it star? No, wait. Oh no, it's Maestro Conference. I don't think we have a mute. Crap. All right, mute your phone if you can, please. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Now the CPV issue is a complicated one. The work on that has already started. It's going to require a lot of work. There is a general manager of a affiliate station who's proven to be very helpful. So part of what I think is going to have to happen is the affiliate managers who – let me finish my comment, please.
Right, hold on. Jim, would you like to make a motion to extend the time for this a little bit?
Yeah. Motion to extend for 2 minutes.
All right.
10 minutes.
Hello?
Yeah, hello? Please don't expect instantly for me to grab stuff. Motion is to extend the time of this item by 2 minutes. Is there any objection?
There was an amendment to 10.
Who wants to make it a 10?
Somebody asked. If they don't, I will.
Okay, you want to make – all right. Does anybody object to extending this item by 10 minutes? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to extending the to passing the motion to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes? Hearing none. It's extended. And Mr. Timekeeper, we're at 20:01. Okay, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right, now the CPB issue is going to be very complicated. As I've mentioned, we had a meeting with a general manager in a New Mexico radio station. It was very helpful. And well, there's going to be another enlistment of other affiliate general managers who are experienced with the CPB issues to help walk us through. How to
educate people? That's an interesting question, because we're going to have the cabs and interested parties at each station sort of participate in these workshops with these GMs, as many as possible, and they will be public events. They're not going to be closed events. But we have to go through some of the logistical things. Now, the one positive thing that was discovered in talking with the GM in New Mexico is that, yes, we do not have sufficient audience in the various metro markets in terms of Nielsen ratings. All that was explained to us. However, we do have sufficient non-federal funding in all the signal areas, and that includes Houston. So every station, including New York, gets at least $500,000 a year in non-federal funding. And that is a criterion to get the money. So that's one aspect of this. Then we also discussed, and this is going to also require a lot of work, the necessity to have local, state, and nationally elected officials in each metro market, that is, you know, the congressmen, the state legislators, the city council people, et cetera, write letters to the CPB talking about the necessity of the local station that is applying for the money to get the money from the CPB, and also how much it serves the public interest. So those are things, it's going to be a lot of things on the plate, but that's the kind of stuff that's being thought of and talked about to be implemented in the next 4 or 5 months. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more when we start to get focused in on this in the next few weeks.
Jonathan Markowitz has called in to the meeting, and I would like to get on the stack if possible.
Okay, hold on a second. All right, so Jim, you're done there. Let's see. And okay. All right. Jonathan. Jonathan, you may not have been here for the start of the meeting, but PNB has said people from people can only be on the local committees as members of the local committee from the station that they are voting from. So in terms of becoming a member, you can't. Go ahead.
You just mentioned about the CPB requirement regarding, members having access to these meetings. You said that earlier on this call. So the PNB's rule about this is specious. I mean, Lawrence Reyes completely opened up the National Board Elections Committee, if you're not aware of. Okay, and that wasn't stopped by the PNB. So I insist that I be allowed to make a comment about what Jim is talking about the CPB. My understanding
You can go and comment.
Yeah, my understanding. Yeah, I just want to make a comment about this. What this sounds like is that.
So Jonathan should be on the stack, right, Apple? Point of order.
I am on the stack.
Okay, what's happening?
This is his term. Jonathan Nee wants to make a statement. As a member of the public, he's entitled to do so.
Yes,
but he,
and I'm letting him.
I'm just questioning whether it's his turn on the stack or whether there were other people before him.
No, after Dingman, let me look back here. After Dingman, there was nobody. That's why I said Markowitz goes ahead.
I'll go after Jonathan.
Thank you.
Okay.
I will take a new stack after he's done. Not yet.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jonathan Markowitz.
The issue is that none of the five stations are reaching the required percentage of audience share. And my understanding is that the CPB paradigm requires that all five have to. If one of the five is not, then the rest of the four don't even get their grants, even if they've reached that bar. Obviously, what Jim's talking about here, and these people who are trying to assist Pacifica get these grants or get qualified in the face of being unqualified, is to exert political pressure through Congress, et cetera, and try to get some favorable, influence going on. However, The problem with this is that there's always conditions, especially when you appeal to elected officials or appointed officials or whatever. And it's bad enough when you're talking about foundation grants, because those foundation grants can be pulled for whatever reason, politically, not usually. But this kind of, you know, whether it be CPP funds or any kind of underwriting itself, of course, underwriting is pretty clear-cut. It's advertising. So the problem is what the money's spent on. When you guys were talking earlier to Bertolt about, you know, okay, what if you decided to switch out the New York frequency? I mean, there really is a serious problem in terms of financial accountability of money coming into the station. It's rife with this problem, going back 15 years at least, if not 30, 40, 50 years. Okay, it's because there is no proper accounting, which means it's the Wild West. Anybody who gets money has a finger on the power pedal. And so is there any accountability? No, because nobody's holding Pacifica accountable to required financial, proper financial decision-making. You know, if you have money coming in, it's like the sky's the limit. Oh, we can do whatever we want. We can expand all the budgets. We can hire so many more people now. And then, you know, well, that's how Pacifica's gotten into this nightmare, is spending more than it can actually afford. So what's the solution? Oh, let's just get tons of money. Then we can do whatever we want and still not be accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
As Bruce was saying about the KPFK building being sold, there is, you know, the whole situation here in L.A. is really bad in terms of this kind of property and this kind of functionability in this town. It's a huge, huge geographical area. It's a real problem. And the prices of property here is just unbelievable. It's way cheaper to sell the building. We're not making that much money out of that sale. You'd be better off swapping the New York license for real. But I don't trust anybody who has their hands on that money once that sale goes through. We're talking about $20, $30, $40, $50 million. No way. So I'm against the building being sold. I'm against the signals being swapped. But if any of these assets were going to be sold, it should be the New York signal swapped. But there's no way that money is going to be accounted for properly, legally. Thank you.
Okay, we have like 2 minutes left, so we can have more stack, but it won't be a big one. Who wants to go?
Mario.
Mario. Anybody else want to go?
Ben.
I wanted to respond
Dingman,
to what Jonathan said.
Yes. Okay, I have Mario, James Sagerton, Jim Dingman. Anybody else?
Serene Roberts.
Okay. Roberts. Okay, anybody else? All right, I have Mario Mastrandia, James Sagerton, Jim Dingman, Serene Roberts. We'll probably, you know what, we got a minute or so left. Does somebody want to make a motion to set a certain amount of time for these four people to go?
James,
let's give them 10 minutes.
You can. Sagerton, go ahead. Make the motion.
I move to extend for 10 minutes to exhaust the stack.
Okay. To extend the time by 10 minutes? Was that
or to exhaust the stack, whichever comes first.
I think we need exact time.
All right, so the motion is to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes or exhaust the stack. Any objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's passed. And, Mr. Timekeeper, it's 2011. Okay.
8:21
till 8:21. Okay, so Mario, go ahead.
Thank you. Bertolt, along with Jonathan and then some with Bruce,
touched on these things all together. They're pretty related. The accountability and is there a plan? And based on results right now, there isn't. So, yeah, so swapping the signal, getting a, I don't know, a $5 million grant. Or who's going to – they're mismanaging all this stuff. There's no plan. The plan should be how do you increase the shoppers who come to shop at the station's signal and listen. Shopping is listening. So how do you do this? I mean, I don't understand, or I do understand by listening through the ears, but here is a company or an entity that their business is exposure, getting people involved in listening and participating, and then doing everything it can to alienate the customer, and then throwing money at the problem, and now they have no more money to do this. But now they want to get more money to throw money at the problem and then not sell or improve their product. It can be done very easily. I'll just call it the way it is. There's a bunch of, you know, in all the stations and in the network, there's a cabal. And these cabals or Svengalis do not want participation because, God forbid, BAI got 10,000 more listeners. That would mean maybe, just a guess, 2,000 more, 3,000 more members, which then would increase the participation and voting. And God forbid, oh my God, that would be a nightmare. How will we handle 3,000, 4,000, maybe 1,000 more people being members and voting? How are we going to handle that? Because we got to have the same people keep the same positions of power. So that's that. I call it that way. That's my opinion. So you have the cabals and all these stations that got to try to hold on to this power. And one of the ways you do that in a community radio station is you throw your participation and your, you know, your ability to increase your the votes that, you know, could happen. You know, well, I don't want to be handling that. You know, how do we handle that? Right now, it takes 100 people to vote you in to the LSB, give or take, in New York City. That's easy to handle. You just got to go get 100 people, 120 people, and I'm in. And I'm part of the power structure. But even this selfish behavior, it's bringing down a station that's supposed to be out there making a difference. This is what gets me. This is at my core. Nobody is really cares about making a difference out there because based on their behavior. Jonathan is completely right, but it's a catch-22. You got to do something. So the bills, you know. They're still eking it out. They still got a few lives left, and they keep playing it. But I call that the way it is because it's just right in your face. If you do not go out and expose yourself, you know, then it's easy to handle the power structure because, you know, God forbid you had 10,000 more people join BAI. Oh, how will we do that? Jonathan, you have a way to contact you. That would be great if you want to share something like that. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, next is James Sagerton. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Apple. I'm going to reiterate my former comment that I hope people can listen to as many of the national meetings as possible. We hear so much cynicism and misinformation at these meetings sometimes. People would benefit the more exposure they got outside of local area. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that one of the problems with a signal swap is that you're going to have a reduced audience. And, you know, the rule of thumb is you have 100 listeners, you maybe get 10 members. Out of those 10 members, maybe one of those people votes. And out of the small number of people that votes, you get an even smaller number, a tiny number, that actually participate in governance. So the whole idea of, you know, democratic operation. It's very good on paper, but in practice it's been difficult. Not that I think we should not do it. I just think it's been more difficult than was anticipated. But the problem, again, with the signal swap is I think the one signal swap that we've had some opportunity to look at involved a 75% decrease in our broadcast footprint. And so the signal swap means we'll have a much, much smaller audience. And we're not making it with the audience that we have with the large signal area. So how are we going to make it with a much smaller signal area, which will way reduce our members, unless we change our format and our programming and open it up so we can have some, at least if not mass appeal, some popular appeal and, you know, get more listeners in. That's clearly what we need to do. We can't just go on selling assets. I'm opposed. I don't want to sell buildings, but we've already done it. I mean, WBI had a building once. KPFA sold an auxiliary building that they had. I don't want to sell assets. This is we're liquidating assets. It's not good. But if you know we start swapping signals, that's really the lifeblood of our existence. And I'm opposed to any signal swaps, any signal sales. And again, it will make it virtually impossible to run a radio station in New York if we try to do it with a smaller footprint with the current content that we have on the air. I will give Berthold and Linda credit for increasing our listenership in certain time slots. And, you know, we need to do more in that direction. We need to broadcast, not narrowcast. That's all. Thanks.